Hello, my name is Alan O'Donoghue. This is the podcast that I record after school each Friday. And I'm looking out the window now and there's snow falling everywhere, so I mustn't make this one too long. So each week I record a podcast where I really record what I've been doing with my Year 10 GCSE computing class. It's a class of 26, it's a mixed ability, and there's three girls in the class. And shortly I'm going to explain what's happened in the last few lessons since the last podcast. It's been an interesting week. I spent 2 days in Germany this week. Fantastic opportunity to work with some teachers of British services in Germany. And the place I was in was called Bielefeld. And I've never been to Germany before. And really, really impressed. Really liked the operation there and how enthusiastic and keen these teachers were. There was, I think, 14 teachers in all, and it was predominantly about Scratch, but I was trying to push the Python in there, and we had a little session on Raspberry Pis, looking at how Raspberry Pis can be used to inspire and engage people in computing. And I felt fantastically lucky as well while I was in Germany to get a call from one of the team from Radio 4 Women's Hour, and they said that they were going to feature something in today's program all about, around a number of things. One is, at one phase, it was there's a conference pledge that some people are signing, which to try and ensure the conference organizers, especially tech and computing conferences, that they have a more representative panel rather than, as some conferences have featured, complete male lineups. So that was one thing they were focusing on. And the other thing was about, well, if we want more female speakers at these kind of events, we're going to need more females opting for computing in school at an early level and to be encouraged, and not just in school. So I felt quite privileged to be invited to go along and speak on the programme. But for practical reasons, I couldn't actually get onto the programme about being released out of school and all that kind of thing. Now, so since the last podcast, the class have actually had 5 lessons. Unfortunately for them, or fortunately, I wasn't there for 3 of the lessons. So while I've been training teachers, we've got 10 events this year with 14 people signed up for each one. So while I've been doing those, and while I've been in Germany, I've actually not been with my class, but my colleague Mary, Moodle Fairy, she's been as good or the next best thing. That's a compliment. Now, the first lesson was on Monday last week. So this is a 2-week summary. And this was the lesson where I'd found on Monday mornings, the children were coming in and we were doing a theory-focused lesson. And I just didn't really feel like I was getting great value out of the lesson. So I organized things so that they're having to brush up on a lot of the theory at home. And then we've got a test coming up next week on Wednesday to test them on that. I've just paused it then. We had one of them Tannoy intercom messages come through. So they're doing a test on Wednesday, which will be to assess how well they've grasped and understood all these concepts to do the theoretical aspects of computing. So what we did do on Monday was we started our first coursework assignment. It's called A453, and there's a choice of 5 different tasks or assignments that go together. I've decided this time not to give them a choice, but just to say this is what we're doing. And the one I've chosen, I've been tweeting and writing a lot about random features within Python recently, so it just seemed to make perfect sense to go for the random task. Now, these tasks are live assessment material, so I'm kind of limited and constrained in what I can say and share about them, but I can speak generally about them. But there's a suite of 3 tasks that go together, and it's all around having random features within games like a dice. So the first task, they have to create a simulation of a dice. The second task, it's around the fact that they have to create some algorithms that assign certain attributes to characters based on the turn of a dice and save them into a file. And then the third task is okay, need to refresh my memory. I think it's something around an encounter that happens in a game between two characters, and you have to sort of predict the outcome of that based on their characteristics and attributes that were determined by the dice. So, to introduce it to the class, I showed them the instructions from the exam board, which detail. So we had a look at that. We had a read through that, and it was what kind of thoughts did we have around it. And then I've got some exemplar work that the board have circulated, not for this particular task, but for a programming task that's very similar, all around calculating the ages of cats and dogs in human years. In fact, it might just be dogs' age in human years. So there are two projects. Now, they're not named as Pupil A and Pupil B, so I decided, when I said to my class, we'll refer to the first one we're going to look at as Billy's project, and we'll refer to the second one as Serena. Serena's created this. Just names that they just pulled them out of the air. So we looked at how Billy tackled the dog age in human years problem, and then we looked at how Serena had tackled that. And I made it clear to the class that this project is half of the coursework, and in total, the coursework is 60% of the overall grade. And then, once we'd looked at those and compared the difference between them, I'm going to cough, so I'm going to pause. Oh dear, right. After we'd looked at the tasks and gone on a little tour in detail of how each different child had responded to those, we then embarked on the analysis of the problems. That was pretty much the Monday lesson. The lesson on the Wednesday, I wasn't in, but I'd left instructions for the children while they were with Mary Moodle Fairy to design the solution to their problem using flowcharts. One of the tools that I've suggested they could use is within Word and PowerPoint, there are flowchart symbols, which they're okay, they work. You can build a flowchart, but it's not the most user-friendly. But there's also a free online tool called Gliffy.com, Gliffy, and it's a quick and easy way of building flowcharts together, drag and drop. It's slightly problematic getting your image from Gliffy to paste that into something. So in that lesson, they as part of the coursework requirements, they have to be handed their work out at the beginning of the lesson and hand their work in at the end of the lesson. And it meant I was able to review the progress that they'd made within that lesson. The following lesson I was in, and I wanted to go back and refer to Serena's work about how she'd tackled the problem of the computing dog ages in human years. So we started to look at what she'd done after she'd done the analysis and the design as in a flowchart. She'd actually written an algorithm for how she thought she was going to solve this problem. But the bit today in the lesson was focusing on how would we test whether this program works. So the way that Serena has done this is she set up a table, and within that table, she's projected some different types of tests that she would do on the program. So it would be like, what if I typed in some strings? What if I typed in some integers? What if I typed in a range of numbers? What if I typed in mixed case strings? So like all uppercase or all lowercase. So that they were the different tests. And then the next column, she had some examples of data. So when it said different strings, there'd be dog with a capital D, dog with a lowercase d, dog in uppercase letters, cat, rat, and so these were this was the test data she was going to use. And then in the third column, she was going to write down what would be the expected results for each of those different examples of data that she could give to the program. So we looked at this, and then I asked them to adopt a similar model themselves in terms of designing a test grid. And they're not doing dog and cat ages, so they would have to think of the random dice simulation task. What kind of things was it going to ask? What kind of results did they expect? So that was within that lesson. They were designing the test. They weren't designing the task. It's already been designed. And then the following two lessons on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, this was when I was in Bielefeld in Germany, I set them some instructions, which was to... I've just left something out. Oh, that's annoying. I'll have to come back to that. I wanted them to do a few things, to start actually developing their code into it, to a position where they think it's working, then run the tests on it. Once they've run the tests on it, then they need to, show the results from those. How do they compare with what they expected? Were there things that were unexpected? And how were they going to solve these unexpected things? So they were kind of in this loop where they were testing it, checking it. Did it do what they wanted? And if not, so that was their lesson on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, I realized what I left out was in the Monday lesson, we reviewed some... A previous lesson that I think I've recorded in the podcast at one point, which was conditional loops. So you can have a loop where it just, in Python, where it just will do it forever without stop. So I showed them an example of that, which was while space true, and you need to make sure true has got a capital T, and then followed by the colon. And then I put the word something afterwards like print hello. In brackets and everything. And then at that point, I just stopped. I said to the class, right, predict what's going to happen next. Think about it in your head. Check with your partner. Do you both agree? And then we fielded the class. What do you think? So somebody said it wouldn't do anything. Somebody said it's going to print hello true. So we had about three different responses. And then some of them, the ones that were a bit more silly, we figured out why were they silly responses. And then of course, rather than me say, well, here, this is what it does, test it on your own computer. And then some of them are going, ah, yeah, of course, it does what I thought, or, oh, it does this. So then I said, well, what if it wasn't true? What if it was a particular expression, like, what, while A equals 1, do this? And then it was the other one was, well, let's take an input, like to say to the user, do you want to continue Y or N? Yes for, Y for yes, N for no. And... so they could build up a loop where each time it done the code that was in that conditional, this phrase, at the end it would say, do you wish to continue? And if you say why, it will continue, and anything else will break out of that conditional loop. So that was the bit I'd left out. So at the point now where I've had a chance to listen to that Women's Hour program that was on today, and if you've not had a chance, I recommend you do. There's some great people in there like Aral and Tom Crick and Amy, who's one of our Manchester Girl Geeks. One of the things, I ended up spending a bit of time talking to the Women's Hour team this week, and what I found really helpful was in terms of the question, how do you encourage girls into computing? It's a question that comes up quite a lot, and I think... because the name of our school is Our Ladies High School, I have found once or twice people have said, a question that I don't expect. So do you not miss teaching boys? Our school is a mixed school. Oh, I thought with it being called Our Ladies that it was just a girls' school. No. Ours is mixed. So they said, so what kind of things do you do to encourage more girls? Well, one of the things I've tried to do now is not actually to make it such a big issue, because I've noticed the more you talk about it, the more people tend to notice it. And instead, not to ignore the issue, but I've tried to do things a little bit more discreetly. And one of that ones is just within my classes, look for opportunities to find when girls have done things that need celebrating. And in my experience, girls don't often put themselves forward and say, hey, look, sir, I've managed to do this. Look, aren't I great? So instead, I do that bit for them and I'll say, oh my goodness, look, Ellen's managed to solve this and she's done it in less time and less lines of code than this boy has in the class. So it's about using examples like that. In a couple of weeks' time, we've got one of these options evenings after school where parents will, in year nine, will come in. No, not parents. Children in year nine will come in with their parents and they get to go around our big hall space and they get to visit all the different stalls. So I've made sure, even though I've only got three girls on my computing course, those three girls have already said, yep, we'd be happy to come along. And I'll have three boys as well, you know, to make it look like it's not just girls that do it, but, you know, we've got an even balance. And it's great, you know, to find three girls that they are the ones that choose it, but also that they're happy to come along and be ambassadors. And maybe next year we'll have six or 12 or, you know, what, 24? I mean, that would be incredible, but we'll see. Anyway, thank you for listening to my podcast again. The snow's getting a little bit deeper. I'm going to have to, you know, pack up and get back on the road. A couple of things that are coming up. There's this network of excellence that's been established by computing at school. If you haven't been to any of the events, look out, because I'm sure within your area right now there are people who are planning these kind of events. Also, a little plug for our Raspberry Jamboree that we're having on Saturday the 9th of March. That's in Manchester at the amazing Manchester Central Conference Centre. It used to be called the GMEX. It's a huge space, and we're lucky to be guests there with the Education Innovation Show, which, you know, if you're one of these people who you hear a lot about BET, but you've never actually managed to get to BET because it's down in London and it's a big trek, well, we're in Manchester and we're a friendly bunch up here. And, you know, come along, Manchester Jamboree. It's on the Saturday. We'll have lots of people. We'll have girls there. In fact, you can come and meet Amy, the star of the Women's Hour show. She'll be there. She's actually going to be one of our speakers. And we've also got all sorts of people, teachers and coders and computer scientists, all talking about how wonderful the Raspberry Pi is as a device to engage and encourage people into computing. Thank you for listening. I've been Techno Teacher, T-E-K-N-O Teacher. That's because I'm a teacher and I can't spell. That's why it's T-E-K-N-O. And please send me some feedback. Let me know what you think I should be including or talking or something. Bye.